Welcome to the Stay Ready Real Estate Podcast, where we stay ready so you don't have to get ready. My name is Emeka, and I'll be interviewing a variety of professionals in the real estate industry to help you get 1% closer of your goal of buying your next real estate investment. My goal with this podcast is to show the world that regular people like you and me can build real estate to build wealth. Today we have Tony Castronova, managing partner of Novo Multifamily Group. Tony is a seasoned multifamily real estate investor with experience in acquisition, due diligence, syndication, capital raising, construction, asset management, and overall asset strategy implementation. He has been invested in over 1,100 units, including a combination of general partner, limited partner, co-GP, and independent ownership. Tony complements his background with a 25-year management consulting career, advising clients on project portfolio investment management. Tony is the founder of Grit to Growth, a transition and performance coaching business focused on helping entrepreneurs transition from the corporate life and the grind of the side hustle to fully intentionally live life by design. Tony is a fractional CFO helping real estate business owners gain financial clarity and put more profits in their pockets. And lastly, Tony recently launched a multifamily group mentoring and training program called Multifamily Masters. Let's listen to Tony. All right, Tony, can you tell the world a little bit about who you are and what you do?
So just a short little bio of myself. I'm Tony Castronovo. I am currently based in Park City, Utah. I use the word currently because that has been a little bit of a transition. July of 2023, so just last summer, me and my wife relocated to Utah after I lived in Texas for about 27 years in the Houston area. So a lot of change there, you know, and while I was in Houston, that's really where I got to know markets and got involved in real estate investing. And we can kind of unpack some more of that. But I kind of started my career in the management consulting space back in, I guess it was 1996. And I guess it was 2014 that I started getting involved in real estate. So working kind of a side hustle, like a lot of people do, and starting to build a portfolio until I eventually decided in 2021 to leave my corporate job and focus on my entrepreneurial businesses, especially real estate, full time. And fast forward, here I am.
Oh, cool. Why real estate specifically? If you there's multiple options, you know, when it comes to being an entrepreneur, but what made you choose real estate?
I think I just always liked the idea of taking a distressed property and, you know, doing the construction, doing the renovations, trying to make value add, and that was just enticing to me. Before I actually started in the management consulting space, I actually had a career in construction. So I enjoyed, you know, being hands-on and so I took a lot of different pathways, but real estate was just something that always got me excited.
What about real estate got you excited?
I think it was just really, I know a lot of people would kind of frown on this, right? Because we say work on your business, not in your business.
Yeah.
I wanted to work in the business for a little while. I just enjoyed the idea of being able to purchase homes and put the sweat equity in and renovate those properties and then either rent them or sell them to people who were looking for, you know, good, clean, affordable housing. It was just a model that I grasped right away. And I will say that my very first property, I did all the renovations myself and quickly learned that while I love it, it's not a way to scale a business. So I gradually started kind of working myself out of the business. And by, I guess, maybe 3 or 4 years into it, I was pretty much removed from doing the hands-on.
No, cool. And you, the one thing that just stuck out to me is you said that you were working in the business, right? You were doing the construction, you did all yourself, and you couldn't scale that way. So how did you scale? And then if you can talk a little bit about your portfolio and to what that scale is for you.
Yeah. So, you know, when I first got in the real estate space, I think, to be honest with you, I don't even know if shows like Flip or Flop were on HGTV at that point, but there were similar kinds of things out there, you know? And so the first and only thought in my mind was I'm going to buy a house. and I'm going to rent out that house after I fix it up. And I had no real vision on, I'm going to build this massive portfolio and, you know, I'm going to have different asset classes. I had no vision. I just knew I needed to get that first house. It was hard. I had no where to start. I was so clear to me. It was 10 years ago. I was watching a football game on a Saturday afternoon. And during halftime, I actually got up and drove down the street to a Keller Williams office that I had seen on my morning commute back that they were open. I walked in the door. I said, I need a real estate agent. And here's what I'm looking for. And some poor sap, you know, who was in there, took me on as a client. And after 4 months and looking at 75 properties, putting 22 offers in, I finally got one.
Okay.
And he made a $3,500 commission. I felt terrible for how much work he put in. But at the end of the day, I got that first rental property and I quickly started to realize, okay, I need systems, I need processes. If I want to do this again, how do I not spend 18 hours a day on Saturday and Sunday and then nights, you know, after work trying to do all this renovation myself? So that's when I started learning about contractors, wholesalers, you know, trying to find, I don't want to say shortcuts, but trying to find ways to start pulling me out of the process and leveraging other people. And from there, I started growing a single family portfolio. And I did that for about 4 years, got real boring, which is good. We want boring real estate. But after running that for about 4 years, I decided to scale up in the multifamily space. And so I bought my first multifamily in 2018.
Okay, multifamily in 2018. What unit was that again? How many units?
So that was a 20 unit. And I call that an IRO, independent real estate owned. I know like many of us are familiar with the syndication space and maybe even joint ventures. This literally was me opening my checkbook and buying the biggest property I could afford. And I had no idea how to buy multifamily back then. I just thought you buy it like you buy a single family. And so what I did though was I leveraged my single families and I sold them off as a single package. And then I rolled that into my multifamily through a 1031 exchange, which I know you're familiar with. I'm not sure about your listeners. So a 1031 exchange, whether you know, do a single family, multifamily, it basically is what's called a like kind exchange. And it's really just something that you're able to leverage the tax code to basically take gains from the sale of one property or set of properties and be able to sort of roll those into a purchase so that you are deferring any taxes on those capital gains. And so there's a bunch of rules and timing and so forth. But nonetheless, it does allow you to defer and, you know, you can continue to keep kicking the can down the road and leveling up properties over time. And then the goal eventually would be that, you know, that would be a part of your estate and you could possibly just leave that to your heirs and your heirs would inherit that estate and basically not have to pay the taxes through, again, more tax code rules.
For sure. And we're not accountants, everybody. So obviously talk to your accountant and talk to your intermediary. But one thing that you mentioned was you sold your single family portfolio to buy this 20 unit and you knew nothing about multifamily. And I also know that you're also a coach and you're starting a couple of new things that I'm sure you're going to get into. How did you eventually start to learn the different ways and strategies about multifamily where you could perfect your ultimate goal to scale?
Yeah. Well, I think maybe I was a little stubborn. I've always sort of had this mindset of I just have to learn by doing. And that's not bad, but it's not the short path. It takes a long time to do that. You're going to make a lot of mistakes. So when I bought the first 20 unit, I really had no idea. And I knew real estate and I understood the basic premises of how to buy a distressed property and, get contractors and basically do the work and so forth, right? And I knew the operations. I could run a rental property. And in that case, I actually used to self-manage in the single family space. That was another big change for me, is I hired third-party management because the property was not in my backyard. It was a little bit of a drive, and I was inheriting 20 tenants, and I just didn't want to take all that on. But I learned that just through trial and error and kind of muscling through it. I did have a kind of unofficial mentor, somebody that had been ahead of me in the multifamily space. And I spent a lot of time, a lot of coffees and breakfasts and things like that, trying to learn from him. But I will also say, from the time I bought that first multifamily in 2018 to the time I did my first syndication, which was a 60-unit deal in 2019, I spent that year shadowing some guys that were part of a mastermind. And they were way ahead of me on the syndication path. And so I learned a lot of how to syndicate deals, how to, really think bigger, work with partners and so forth to try to put a syndication together. And then during that process, that's where my ignorance kind of took a back seat. And I finally decided, I'm going to go ahead and put the money down on a true mastermind and really learn it the right way, have partnerships, have a community to support me. And so that's when I joined the mastermind that you and I met. And that just kind of accelerated everything.
I love masterminds, right? The mastermind is the reason why I'm in a deal, it's the reason why I'm on contract. And it's always nice to have a bunch of like-minded people who have the same goals and people who buy in. That kind of just shows that there's a different seriousness towards it. So would you say you're a coach as well?
I am a coach, literally. Yes. Yes. So I guess it was, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, something that I realized as part of one of the boot camps we had in these masterminds is, you in the multifamily space, or really any real estate, probably, you purchase assets. There's a lot of work that goes into making a purchase. And then the real work starts once you begin to run that asset. And so, conveyor belt, right? We think of this idea of taking assets and putting them on our conveyor belt, and they're running along a timeline. Maybe it's 5 years or so. You're raising the value. Eventually, you sell, it comes off your conveyor belt. And maybe you can use those funds to put another asset, or maybe two, on your conveyor belt. And the idea is you have more and more assets on your conveyor belt closer together. And so now, you're making real money off of those assets. But when you're first starting out and you have one asset on there, then maybe 6 months later, maybe a year later, you put another one on. The income isn't quite there yet. Okay. You're building wealth, but you're not necessarily building a whole lot of income. And so, in between having those assets on your conveyor belt, if you don't have a W-2 job, you still have to put food on the table. And so, I went through a bit of an exercise because I didn't want to go back into the corporate world. I went through an exercise that I take a lot of my coaching clients through this actually, where I just said, if I have no limitations on anything that I want to do, I can control my own destiny on what I do, where I put my time. What is it? And I just list all these ideas, be real creative. And then the analytical side comes out, where I kind of score each of these ideas. And I look at, what's my skill set? What's my passion and excitement for doing any of these things? Is it scalable? And I take all that, and I guess the time commitment, right? Which is part of the scalability, but how much time do I have to put into that? And then I basically score them. And what I saw was things bubble to the top. There's themes there. And for me, it was all around coaching, consulting, training. There were just things that bubbled to the top. And so I decided I'm going to go out and learn how to be a professional coach. I already had a 25-year consulting background, but coaching's a little different. So I went and immersed myself in a 9-month certification program to really learn the ins and the outs of the coaching world. And then during that process, I launched a company called Grit to Growth. So that is my one-on-one coaching that's really focused on entrepreneurs. I help entrepreneurs to either leave the W-2 world and go off and explore their passion, or maybe small businesses, people who are entrepreneurs starting a business that really need help getting that off the ground. That's my one-on-one business. But I also decided just this year to work with a partner to launch a group practice focused on multifamily, actually. So that's multifamily maestros. And so I have a partner that works with me, Randy Langendurfer. And we were running a webinar, kind of a podcast, for about a year and a half, where we're just giving away free content. We're going to continue to do that. But we decided to level that up. And we have a group mentoring practice now. It's a community mastermind with 12 modules in our training program. It's called the Multifamily Academy. And so it basically walks people through how to get started in the multifamily space and or how to start really purchasing more assets and running them more efficiently.
I'll definitely put that in the show notes. And it sounds like you're just a big wealth of knowledge, right? So if you were to go back to when you first started, when you were first getting into it, would you change anything or do anything differently?
I don't think so. I mean, like I said, it was a slower path because I was stubborn on using money to go and invest in a mastermind, invest in myself. So maybe I would have possibly started that a little bit sooner. I had seen lots of people that were in my network that they were doing this. They were joining different masterminds and they were seemingly really taking off in their businesses. But for me, I guess I just had to do it kind of the way I always felt comfortable. Get in there, learn the business myself by being in it. And I think that allowed me to then see, once I bring in other people, how it really should work. You know, like when I hired my first property manager, if I would have just hired them out of the gate without ever doing property management, I don't know that I would have understood what they go through and, you know, how they make money and how they keep the property running. And I just needed to see that for myself.
If someone's listening to this podcast and now they're inspired to get into real estate, so if they want to jump into multifamily, what would you tell them to do?
I guess I would say a couple of things. One is that sometimes people think I have to start small and then graduate up. And I think there is a little bit of a danger with that, because something I learned was when I was buying smaller properties, it was harder to manage those properties, because the properties, if they're too small, they can't really afford to have a staff that you hire to run them, which means that falls on you. And if you want more work, then you can buy small properties. But if you want to have a more, I don't want to say passive, but a less active role, then you get into bigger properties. And that kind of brings to the second point of, well, teams. I can hire people like property managers and contractors and so forth. But what about partners, right? In the syndication space of multifamily, we usually have multiple partners, or even in a joint venture, you got partners. And so really trying to pick the right partners. I'm still mastering that, but that's something I've learned, especially over the last few years, is You know, really look at your skills, your passion. If you get into bigger deals with teams, you don't have to do all of it. You can really focus on what gets you excited. And if you're working on things that get you excited, here's what, you're going to get really good at it.
Was there any like myth that you debunked once you got into multifamily?
I think, I don't know if it's a myth, but yeah, I definitely didn't realize the amount of capital that's really needed. You know, in the syndication world, we typically raise funds for deals. And you raise funds for a lot of different things, from, you know, the down payment to closing costs, working capital, capital improvements. But you really, you can't be too optimistic when you're preparing your rehab budget, because there's always stuff. You peel back the onion, there's always stuff in a value add type property. You buy a property that's, you know, a couple of years old, maybe not so much. You're buying a property that was built in, you know, maybe the 70s or even in the 60s. You're going to be finding all kinds of skeletons that you didn't think about. And so you need to be well capitalized.
No, that makes sense. And you always hear those books about no and low money down, you know, use OPM. And that's definitely possible, but that's usually an outlier. So that's one thing that I can agree with you. So what is your goal with everything, right? You have this coaching, you're starting a mastermind, and you're still buying real estate. So what's the end goal for you with your investments?
You know, it's a good question. So right now I've been invested in about 1,150 units at 9 multifamily properties. And again, I sold my single family portfolio after running that for about 4 years. I had goals a while back on, you know, getting more units, getting more properties and so forth. And that doesn't necessarily go away, but that's not how I measure myself. I mean, for me, and I think maybe for your listeners, you really have to think about what is the real purpose for any real estate purchase, right? Is it to generate income for today, for your living expenses and so forth? Or is it to grow wealth? Is it maybe to help with tax advantages because maybe you have other income streams? What's the real purpose for that multifamily asset? For me personally, I do enjoy making these acquisitions, running the assets, and working with teams. I really love that part of it, working with all my partners across all my teams. I'm going to continue to do that, but I'm going to do it very patiently. And, you know, right now is probably a good time to buy, but it's also a good time to just roll up your sleeves and make your assets as efficient as you possibly can. And so I'm doing a lot of that right now, is really doubling down on my assets. And I haven't made an acquisition since last summer. And, you know, I'm looking at deals and I'm looking at partners, but right now I'm really working to get my coaching business ramped up, to get my multifamily academy ramped up. And, you know, I'm doing that partially because I love it. I enjoy it. And I think I even kind of forgot, you and I talked offline at one point. I put this in the coaching space, but I somehow landed on CFO, fractional CFO services for real estate clients. Through my coaching journey, I started working with people who needed help on how to really look at the finances in a business, how to grow and get more efficient with their finances, both personally as well as in their business. And so I joined with a company to provide fractional CFO services for wholesalers, flippers, multifamily, you know, you name it. And so that's been a part of it too. And I really enjoy working with these clients. So that's something that I'm just going to continue to pour myself into. And, you know, I'll grow my real estate portfolio along the way.
No, I love that. And one of the things that kind of stuck out to me that you just said is you said right now it's probably a good time to buy. And I've listened to multiple people and everyone has a very different opinion about that statement, to say the least. What do you think is going to happen in the market within the next 3 years for multifamily real estate?
Well, I think we're all sitting there watching what the Fed does on interest rates, and lots of talk about 3 rate cuts this year. And I think the latest is maybe June, July that's supposed to happen. If that happens in June, July, then we're going to have a really exciting, second half of the year, just because people have been anticipating this for a long time. It's going to make a shift. It's been tough for a lot of folks seeing these interest rates climb the way they have. What's been harder is the lack of predictability, right? It's one thing if you just know rates are going to be at a certain place, and they've kind of stabilized a little bit, but when it was first ramping up and those rates were climbing, I was actually trying to close on a deal and the rates were changing like every single week before we closed. And the lender was just encouraging us, get in there, get it done. And that's not always so easy, but watching your rate climb and then, going back to your underwriting and, you're like, okay, at some point, this is not going to work, and you don't want to exit that deal. So very, very tumultuous time. Well, now looking forward, I do think that it's going to stabilize a little bit. We're going to see these rates come down. It's going to allow deals to pencil out more. I think we'll see more transaction volume than we have been. But I also think that there's a lot of people that bought properties 2 or 3 years ago and their loans are coming due and, they're coming to maturity and they need to refi or extend those loans. And right now it's still very expensive to do that. So there, the phrase capital call used to be taboo and nobody loves that, but it is becoming more of a common term that, a lot of operators are having to exercise just to get these loans to extend or refinance.
Interest rates seem to be the biggest thing, as you said, that we're expecting three rate cuts by the end of the year, and hopefully June is the start. What are you telling your investors to look at when buying, an investment? Because interest rates can't be the only thing that you focus on.
That's right. That's just a lever, right? There are multiple parameters when you're underwriting deals, and that's just one. I do think that if the deal works at, 7%, then if you have, the right runway to be able to operate that property, I mean, you don't always want to just ride on the fact that you're going to refinance that property. But I mean, come on, if you're getting a high rate now, you're very likely going to refinance in the next few years. So that's just a great opportunity. And because of, some of these parameters and levers, that means that price typically has to come down now for a deal to work. So you're usually able to buy something at a lower price right now. And I don't want to say instant equity, but there is a lot of equity to be had there. We bought my last property, we bought it in the $50 million range, $58 million. I think that it had been trading or, was on the market the year before that for well over that, like $80 million range. And basically, that's the only lever if somebody needs to get out is price. Right. So,
No, cool. And I actually have never asked this question to any of my other guests, but what do you go for, right? What's better, cash flow or appreciation?
cash flow is the runway that allows you the time to get that appreciation, right? So if you don't have cash flow, then you have a property that maybe one day will be something that will provide a lot of wealth, but you need both, to be honest with you. Not necessarily a lot of cash flow to, run your lifestyle, but you have to have positive cash flow. That is always the goal for any property. I know a lot of people want to, retire and have this positive cash flow stream through real estate, and that can be done, but it's not going to be done on one property typically. So you have to kind of be in it for the long game and really be making lots of investments. Me personally, I'm okay with the long game. In fact, that is, you know, really my core focus. It's not that I'm trying to put food on the table through cash flow with my assets right now. I really am looking at that conveyor belt and looking at these assets coming off the conveyor belt and producing a lot of proceeds once they sell. And that's very doable.
No, great. And with that, we're going to move on to the next segment of the show where I ask everybody the same three questions. Number one, what are the two books you recommend the aspiring investor to read?
I tell you, the first one that jumped out at me right away when you asked me that is Who Not How. And I think the author's Dan Sullivan on that. A lot of colleagues of mine have read that book, but I actually put that into practice big time. And you know, I'll summarize it real quick on this because I know we're short on time. Who Not How, I was reading the book, and my son actually had been talking to me about buying a car. And I wanted to help him out as his dad, but I didn't want to just open my checkbook and say, hey, I'm going to buy you a car. So we decided to flip a house. He was going to spend the summer with me and we're going to flip a house and get the money to buy a car. And as I'm reading this book, I'm thinking, man, that's going to be a lot of work. I'm going to have to put everything on hold. I don't want to do that. And so immediately I'm like, wait a second. I don't need to actually flip a house myself. I just need to know who can help me flip a house. And so I just kind of rearranged the parts here. And I immediately started putting, a list together of all the people I knew who were like really expert flippers. And I started making phone calls. And lo and behold, a good friend of mine had a property under contract. He asked if we wanted to participate. And I'll just fast forward and say, he was my who, and we got it done. And it was just a different way to accomplish a goal without having to think about all the how am I going to do all this? Okay, so super powerful book. And the other one I'll say is, and I read a lot of books, I'll say Atomic Habits. I really like that book because there's a lot of hacks in it for getting really good about managing your time, developing the right habits. I mean, when you start changing your habits, you start changing the results. So I really like that book for good practical knowledge.
I love it. What has been the most impactful speech or lesson that has helped you and your career?
Man, that's a tough one. I guess I'll pull out a quote from I guess it would, I don't know if he was the originator of this quote or not, but I did go to a presentation by Luke Wren, and he had said something that stuck with me for a while. What he said was, how you do anything is how you do everything. And when I think about that quote, I just think about, my different businesses, the people I work with, my different assets. I want to just constantly bring the best of myself in everything that I do. And it could be personal, professional. So you just think about how you show up every day. And I think it's a big mindset game changer.
No, great. And if you can have dinner with anyone, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Well, I think the first person that came to mind was my dad. So my dad passed away 13 years ago, and a lot's changed for me in 13 years. I got remarried. I relocated to a beautiful place of the country. I left the grind of the corporate world. I've done so much in those 13 years. And as parents, I think we always want to see our kids be successful, be happy. And I would have wanted him to be seeing me be happy. And I think as a parent, he deserves that. And, that's the only thing that, I think about with my kids is I want to just keep doing whatever I can to help them be happy. And I think that's just a part of, you know, at least for me anyway, part of my personal journey.
I love it. And how can the audience reach you if they want to reach, contact you, ask you more questions, or just learn more about your businesses?
Well, we can certainly put it in the show notes, because as we talked about, I got a few different businesses, but I'll go with the Multifamily Maestros. Okay. They can email me at Tony, T-O-N-Y, at multifamilymaestros.com. And of course, our website is multifamilymaestros.com. They can always reach me that way as well.
Well, Tony, I appreciate you joining the show and hope to have you back at another time.
All right. Thanks again for having me.
That was Tony, everybody. At the beginning of the podcast, I told you I'd give you three actionable steps that you can do today to help you get 1% closer to your goal of being your next real estate investment. Before then, please like or subscribe to this podcast. If you enjoyed it, it'd mean the world to me, and I hope to continue to make this thing better. Step one, find a mentor. Network, network, network. Having someone that you can always rely on and talk to whenever you have questions or when you need guidance is amazing. Having a coach, having a mentor is everything, because then you're not going at it blind. You have more resources than just a book and podcast to rely on, and someone who has preferably done it before can give you legit advice. Step two, determine how to scale as early as you can. What I mean by that is, Tony started by working in the business. He was the one that was doing everything. So you don't want to be a property manager necessarily. Having that experience is great, but determine what you need the property manager to do to make your life easier. Determine what you need to do before something gets to you. For an example, if you own a single family unit and you're self-managing, that may be okay, but determine the criteria that needs to happen for you to actually wake up in the middle of the night to go fix something. So you need to determine the who, not the how, and figure out how to streamline your business. Step three, if you have $200 to spare, do the trial. Tony is very experienced. And if you don't, there's so much information and other resources on Facebook that you can get guidance from. Until next time, see you later.